Good morning. My name is Pastor Erin Fitzgerald, and I am so glad to be with you this day as we praise God together and come as a community of faith to be connected to one another, to be connected to God, to be connected to the life that the church brings each and every one of us. We are moving through a series in this Lenten season, the 40 days leading up to Easter, where we're talking about all the different ways we're connected. All the different ways we're connected to God and to each other and to the church. And we want to focus on how we're connected so we can learn about how we can deepen those connections, how we can grow our faith, how we can increase our relationships and the blessings that we receive from those connections and those relationships. Behind me, you see some artwork up on the sides of the screen, and we talk about everything we do being connected, our growth, our service, our prayer, our words, our unity, all of those things are what helps us grow as people of faith. Today, we're almost halfway through the series now, and we're talking about how we're connected in service. Connected in service. And as Christians, service is a word that we use to talk about a lot of different things, whether we serve God and neighbor, whether we serve the church through volunteering, whether we give money and we serve the needs of the congregation and the needs of our community through our dollars, whether we donate things and that helps to go to serve others who are in need. And that's exactly what we're talking about today, all the ways that we are connected in service and how that can help us grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus and with our relationship with the church. When I think about service, I want to know, why does serving connect us to God and each other? Why can't we just reach out and touch a hand or pick up the phone or send an email or a text and be connected that way? Why do we actually need to do something, sometimes something outside of our comfort zone, in order to serve God and neighbor? And the thing that resonates with me most is that whenever I go to a soup kitchen or whenever I go to the grocery store to buy something on behalf of another person, whenever I go through my closet and pick out the things I don't wear anymore or that don't fit anymore, that happens a lot, I'm always acting on behalf of someone else. I'm always trying to empathize with their situation and use what I have to make their life better or a little bit easier. I'm always trying to empathize with the idea that I get hungry just about every 3 to 4 hours. It's like clockwork, and I want something else. I want something more. And other people have that experience too, right? Surely. Are you nodding your heads? Okay, you're awake. Okay, good. All right. So people get hungry. People need clothes to wear. They need clean clothes to wear, and they want to look good when they go out into the world. They want to look good when they go out to work. They want to look good when they go on their dates and things like that. We can empathize with those situations, and that connects us to the thoughts and the feelings and the needs and the wants of other people. Service connects us in very small but meaningful ways. The more we choose to act on behalf of others, whether we're donating food or clothes, whether we're volunteering our time, whether we're doing something, reaching in our pocket, picking up the phone, writing a card, whatever we're doing to serve God and neighbor connects us to others. And I heard a quote, it's an old quote from a guy named Aesop, and he says, "No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted." And I love that idea, that no act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. That means that every t-shirt I give away, every box of cereal, or every can of soup, every dollar means something to God and to the kingdom of God and to the church. And those connections are lasting and they're meaningful and they're important to us. Because no act of kindness is ever wasted. It's never wasted because I think that is where God's grace is working. God's grace is working in those small things, in those small movements or flutters of our heart that make us say, I want to do something and act on behalf of someone else that God loves. Whenever we're moved internally or spiritually to do something else for a person that God loves, that is us responding to an act of grace. And that's where our scripture for this morning comes in. It comes from 1 Peter in the 4th chapter, verse 10. says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So whatever act of kindness we have to give away, whatever money, whatever food item, whatever clothing item, whatever we're trying to give away, whether that's our time or our talent or our treasure, we are called to do that as people who have been blessed by God and called to serve others. We're called to be faithful stewards of what we have. We want to use what we have to the best of our ability, and what we don't need or what feels superfluous or extra, that's what we're called to give away. And when we do that, we're giving away God's grace, because we're helping other people connect to the goodness, to the love of God that's in the world. Grace is this amazing thing, and it's a word we talk about a lot, but sometimes we need to define it. Grace is an unmerited gift. It's a gift that has no strings attached. It's not something that we expect to receive. It's not something that we can earn. It's not something that we deserve. It's not something we get just because it's our birthday. Grace is this amazing thing that's always available to us because God's presence, God's goodness, God's love is always reaching out to us. It's reaching out in big and small ways. Big ways like Jesus on a cross, and small ways like a can of soup that we can put in our grocery cart this week for someone else who's hungry. It's reaching out to us like someone who is going to be walking down the street today because it's almost 70 degrees, praise the Lord, and they smile at us and say, hello, how are you? It's reaching out in big and small ways because today, you, in this moment, in this place, are going to have an act of worship, and it's going to feel good. It might feel hopeful. It might feel inspiring. It might feel life-giving. It might feel like a change is happening in your life because you're here and you can sense that God is here too in this community. That's what grace is. So as we serve, we are also tapping in to God's grace, to that gift that exists for us and for others, that gift that is supposed to be given away with no expectation, with no strings attached, with no commitment, with no thank you note, but just a sense of awe and wonder. Like, wow, how did I get to this place where I deserve such extravagance, where I deserve to be loved, when I deserve to be cared for, when I get a blessing that I didn't anticipate or choose for myself? As I was thinking about grace, I was also thinking about a story that a man named Thomas Merton told a long, long time ago. Thomas Merton is a Christian author and a prolific writer. And he tells the story about being in the streets of a very busy city. And he was there and he was watching homeless people who were panhandling, who were begging for money on the street, who were asking for help from each and every person who came by. And as Thomas was walking through the city streets and he kept encountering all these different people in need, some of them had pets, some of them had women or children with them, some of them were wearing enough clothes and some of them were cold. Some of them looked disheveled, others looked put together and had shoes on their feet and coats on their bodies and had clearly put a comb through their hair that morning. And Thomas Merton said, I don't have enough resources that I can save each and every person who needs help. I don't have enough resources that I can feed all these people, that I can clothe all these people, that I can welcome all these people into my home or to take them to a shelter. More than that, I don't have the time to be able to listen to them and to their story, to get to know what got them in this situation in the first place, and try to understand what they need most, whether that's a meal or something else. But then Thomas came to the conclusion that it's not my job, it's not his job to try to solve other people's problems. And more than that, it's not his job to determine if they're worthy of having their problems solved. Thomas said, "My job is to love other people without stopping to inquire first whether or not they are worthy. For that is how my God loves me." If we relate that to our own lives, if we relate that to all the people and all the situations that we know where folks are in need, folks do not have enough, where folks are wanting or pining or yearning for something else in their life, and we start to get overwhelmed, right? That's a normal human instinct. We start to get so overwhelmed by all the problems that we face, but yet, when we think about how we are connected in our service, we can rest assured that the love of God is bigger and better than anything we can imagine. And that if we all do our part, if we all participate in that one small act of kindness, if we all set judgment aside and insist that it's our job to love without questioning whether they are worthy to receive it or not, the needs of the people will be met by the blessings of the community of faith. The needs of the people will be met by the abundant and the extravagant love and grace of God. Working together, we can accomplish so much good because we are connected to Jesus, to the church, to this community, and to all the things that we have in our life. All the superfluous, all the extra things that we have that we can give away. As we serve, each one of us doing our small act of kindness, each one of us participating and sharing in the grace of God that we can give away, there's going to be a sense of connection, and that connection is going to unite us. It's going to unite us like the words are connected up on the artwork behind me. It's going to unite us because we share a purpose. We share a purpose to love God and neighbor. And the way we express that love, the way we share that love, is through our service. So we're connected and we're unified in our service to God and neighbor because that is our reason for being as a church. We welcome you in here. We give you the strength and the inspiration and the motivation that you need to stand up and go out of this place and share God's grace and love with others. We're united in that purpose. That's what we're all here for. And as we're united, we use the different gifts and the different talents that God has given us to meet the needs of the people outside these doors right where they are. We're united in our purpose and we come together and we use all the different things that God has given us to share God's grace with others. We all have different means, but we work towards the same end. In the life of the church, there's a lot of avenues of service that you can pursue. There's a lot of different things that the church needs from you, that the community needs from you, that I need from you, and we all can make a difference. There's lots of different examples that I can give you of this. I want to give you a few. In a few weeks, we're going to be launching our community garden here in Rochester. Our community garden is an amazing mission initiative, and it takes a lot of people to pull it off. From the time that we reserve those garden plots in the park to when we start planting the seeds and nurturing the young plants that we'll transplant into the ground, and then later on in the summer, we'll begin harvesting them. We have all kinds of vegetables that we get to harvest, and it's important that we do this work because 100% of those vegetables are donated to the Rochester Area Neighborhood House, to their food pantry. The food pantry has tons of non-perishable items that they give away each and every week, and our job is to help provide some of the fresh produce that people need to help get their vitamins and their minerals and to help their healthy diets be sustainable. If you're a person who likes to garden, if you're a person who sees a flower versus a weed versus a vegetable plant, we need to know who you are, because we're going to plug you in to a service opportunity there. Similarly, if you know how to encourage kids, if you know and are willing to spend time doing arts and crafts projects, hiding Easter eggs, volunteering as a Sunday school teacher, working in our nursery, or things like that, we want to plug you into those opportunities, because as you saw this morning, we've got a bunch of young kids who are growing in their faith and their understanding of who Jesus is and what their relationship with him looks like. And we need lots of loving, kind adults to participate in their faith journey. We would love to plug you in to that. We have mission opportunities here at St. Paul's with our Methodist Children's Home Society, which is in Redford. We have all kinds of opportunities for people to mentor children, to volunteer your time, sprucing up their grounds or painting a classroom, packing backpacks, using your gifts and talents to reach out to the least of these. Maybe you're a knitter and you like to spend time in the evenings sitting by the TV and working with your hands to create a beautiful piece of art. Well, here at St. Paul's, we have a knitting group that makes prayer shawls, amongst many other beautiful things. And then the pastors and the Stephen ministers take the prayer shawls out into the community, out into the hospitals and the nursing homes, to bring items that will comfort and encourage healing and recovery. These are just some ways. Building a habitat house. Later on in the summer, we'll have a habitat build that we get to participate in, where we get to put on our grubby clothes and go and spend a day building a home for someone else. Using an organization that is active in our community and knows how to do that work well, we can be partners in sharing God's grace and love and providing sustainable resources for people who are homeless or in need of safe, affordable housing. There's projects throughout the year that we participate in. There's ministry events. There's tons of things coming up during Holy Week, not this week, but next, where we just need people in the building. We need warm bodies who can smile and open doors, who can shake hands and greet people when they come to a worship service or an Easter egg hunt. Folks who can make coffee and set out donuts. Things so simple, but that provide radical hospitality for our family and our friends, our neighbors and our strangers. I was talking with a friend this week, and learned about a really cool service opportunity that she gets to participate in each year. My friend is Jen Allor, and she's a member of our congregation and our community here at the Open Door. And Jen works as a high school teacher, a high school art teacher in Utica. And she participates in a project every year with her students called the Memory Project that is an act of service that connects students from all over the world through an art project. And we have a video this morning that we're going to show you about the Memory Project so that you can see a little bit more what that's like. And then we're going to talk with Jen and hear how she understands this project as an expression of her faith. Let's watch together.
Thank you. 하거든요. 제가 뛰어버려라.
What you have done for these children is very special. For these children, there are a lot of donations, financial donations that comes for the facilities and everything else. They're very important, but they lack the special touch that you guys have provided in this project. What you have done, you have showed these children that there are people on the other side of the world that really cares, and that will change their future. What I've seen yesterday is that the love that you sent for them have lit up their heart, and I saw that on their faces. So really, thank you for everything that you have done.
أشكر يعني الاتحاد الأوروبي ونشكر كل القائمين على هذا البرنامج الطيب. نشكر الشعب الأمريكي اللي قاعد أخرجنا طلابنا مرة ثانية وثالثة من خلال الرسومات من الجو المعارك والطائرات والقصف إلى الجو الإنساني إلى جو المحبة إلى جو الإنسانية. نشكركم وكثر خيركم وبارك الله فيكم.
Good morning, Jen. Thank you for sharing that video with me earlier and for allowing us to share it this morning at Open Door. I just want to have the congregation here hear a little bit from you about what you do every day and why the Memory Project is important to you and your students. I know that Syria is just one of the countries that you've been able to paint.
Yeah, that's true. I've been doing the Memory Project for about 10 years now, and we did Syria last year. This year, we actually drew portraits of children from the United States.
Oh, wow. I
became familiar with the Memory Project actually through Oprah. She had the organization on her show, and this was a long time ago, and I was inspired by it, and so I said, heck, I can do this with my students, and I did, and I've been doing it on and off for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. How do you think art connects people? Why does it connect these children to your students, wherever they are?
Well, I think art connects people because it is a form of communication. It's a way to share ideas. It's a way that you can pull people in, and it's an experience that everyone shares.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know that whenever I walk in a museum, art gallery, or even see a picture that my three-year-old son drew, I immediately feel connected to what they did in that moment or throughout history. Why does this memory project feel like an act of service to you?
Well, the way it feels like an act of service is I think that Jesus lived a connected life, and I think as Christians, he wants us to be connected. And I'm able to witness my students have a faith connection through empathy and the actual action of seeing them caring for others. High school students tend to be very into themselves, especially now with their cell phones and social media. And it's a way, I think, that I can bring them out of that. Even in a public school, where there is a division of church and state, I'm actually allowed to witness them be disciples in a sense and show love and caring and kindness to people like Syria so far away. It kind of makes the world felt, and it just makes it a little bit, it brings the world closer to them. Instead of them staying in their tight little knit circles, they're actually coming out and they're finding that more goes on in the world, and they actually, can take part in that and make it better.
Absolutely. I do think that art makes the world better. And we saw some of that just by the joy and the smiles on the children's faces, didn't we? As they picked up their portrait and they looked at that, and then they looked in the mirror, they saw some resemblance, and that just immediately brought out some joy in their work. How does that response inspire you?
It's kind of funny. This year is actually the first year that I participated in the Memory Project myself. I actually drew a portrait. In the past, I've always watched my students do it, and this year I did it myself. And just watching the video, making the artwork, it's hard to describe. It's just such an overwhelming feeling that I'm letting my gift and my students' gifts help these children and give them some sense of joy and showing that people so far away actually do care for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The amazing thing that this video shows me is that they were able to capture the response of people who received a random act of kindness, who were impacted by something seemingly small. The portraits probably didn't take too long to make, and then they were sent out and made an amazing impact, made a difference. And what that says to me is that every time we do something, every time we participate in an act of service, any time we choose to act on behalf of the beloved, somebody else is going to have a response like what those kids had on the video. We don't get to see that all the time. We don't get to experience their gratitude and their joy and the immensity of the grace that is offered to them in that moment. But we can trust that it does indeed happen. We can trust that that gift is indeed shared and that we are connected to them in that moment because we offered them something that they did not have. We offered them a gift that had no strings attached, that was free, that was unmerited, and that we were willing to offer from ourselves. In the coming week, I want to share with you that there are just a couple opportunities for you to do something small where you can serve others. Jen and her family have done an amazing job getting this video up on the screen and making this interview happen today. And I wonder if it's inspired you in some way to participate in an act of service. Tomorrow, on Monday, April 8th, we have an Easter egg hunt happening at the Methodist Children's Home Society, where some church members have stuffed eggs and we're going down to hide them at Methodist Children's Home so that 60 boys who live there year-round can participate in some holiday fun. I would love to have a few more volunteers go with me, and if you can go, please see me after service to participate in that egg hunt. Similarly, on Friday, April 12th, this Friday, we're going to have a storytelling night here at St. Paul's called Use Your Words. Jen is going to tell us another story, totally unrelated to the Memory Project. She's just full of surprises. And there's some other amazing storytellers who are going to be there. One way you can get connected to that is simply by coming to attend the event. It's at 7 p.m. Another way you can get connected and to serve is by coming just to greet folks to welcome them, to help put out the food and the coffee and things like that. I need a few more volunteers for that event. Finally, we have quite a bit going on in the life of our community, and we know that our Rochester area neighborhood house, their pantry shelves are bare right now because so many families needed to stock up on food and supplies over spring break week. So what we need you to do is donate non-perishable food items to St. Paul's. We keep a grocery cart in our church narthex in a hallway down the hall, and it's empty right now, just like the shelves are empty at the Rochester Area Neighborhood Food Pantry. So if you could participate in an act of service in any small way like that, we would be very appreciative. We would be very appreciative. Thank you for being connected today and for listening to all the opportunities we have to share with you. Will you pray with me? Loving God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for all the gifts and the talents of the people here in this place. I thank you for bringing us together as a community of faith that is united in our purpose to share your love and grace with others. Help us to see the opportunities that you have for us to use our gifts each day, and help us to be so bold in our response to share the grace that we have received with others. We know, O God, that our relationship with you and our desire to serve you is indeed a gift, and we want to give that gift away. We don't want to hoard it for ourselves, and we don't want to hide it. You are the one that we long to serve. And so today we commit ourselves once again to doing that on behalf of your Son, Jesus. Amen.